about T-ball. You know, one of the guys that struck out in T-ball, it just hurt me ever since. So. And then Little League, it's like playing bench, you know. Which position is it, the right field that they stick guys that they don't want anybody? That's what I played when I played. But they didn't want to take too much of a chance, so they didn't put me out in right field. But that's okay. God didn't make me that way on purpose. So we're thankful. Are there more notes for Jeff? Okay. Okay. You can put the baby on that chair.
Okay.
I do have some experience. I have more experience holding babies than President-elect Obama has experience in the Senate. All right. That's true. So, okay. Let's pray. Ethan, would you pray for us today? Amen. Okay, everyone got their notes? Flip them over to the back. Down at the bottom, we're just going to review a little bit before we get started, and I didn't want to break up the front piece, so I put them on the very end. Okay? So we're reading Hebrew now. We're starting from the end almost, okay? Overview, discipline number one, Bible saturation is what we call it. The idea we need to be saturated by the Word of God. And a summary statement is I am filling myself with God's Word. We are disciples, and one of the things a disciple does is to continue to fill him or herself with the Word of God, just like a sponge. And just like a sponge, you have to keep doing it because the sponge will dry out. Okay, you can't live off of that. You know, what you learned last year or whatever. Every day we need to be in the Word. We've looked at Bible reading, and we call that familiarization, knowing what the Bible says. And we talked about public and personal reading. Bible feeding is what we talked about last week, instruction, that is learning what the Bible means. Number three, Bible treasuring. That's what we're going to talk about today, saving what the Bible says into my heart. And then we're going to look at Bible deepening, which is meditation, and Bible keeping, which is application, coming up. Be a sponge. We said reading is like a light mist over a sponge. You know, just a light mist, and it slowly puts it in there. Reading it familiarizes you. It doesn't saturate, but it familiarizes you. Feeding is like a direct shot. I thought even better, it's probably more like a spray rather than a direct shot. As I thought about memorizing is like a repeated shot in one place. Okay? And it slowly just soaks it in and gives it for you to use. Okay, now you can flip back over. Bible treasuring. And again, the kids are learning the same thing. So if you have children, you can review with them as well. That's what's kind of neat about the way we're doing things. Just like the firm foundation, so. Number one, we're talking about memorization. I would say if you want to turn people inside out, make them go backwards, or make them call in sick for church, tell them you're going to talk about memorization, and then they'll, oh, I think I'm coming down with the chills or something. It's one of the disciplines that's probably least practiced, but it's still as legitimate and essential as any of the other disciplines. Why to do it? Number one, memorization, first and foremost, is commanded. That's number one there. God tells us to memorize. Memorization is commanded. Proverbs 7:1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Treasure my commands within you. That's where we get that Bible treasuring. It's, and that's, I don't, I haven't looked at all the other teachers' plans yet, but my wife is using a treasure chest for the 4 and 5-year-olds to give the idea. You have to put stuff in so you can get it out again. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. How does it dwell in you? You have to have it memorized. That doesn't necessarily require word for word, but if you don't have it in your head, you cannot use it. It's not dwelling within you. There's a world of difference between having a Bible or multiple Bibles, which most of us have, and having it in your head. Okay? So memorization is commanded. That should be enough, but there's a lot more. Number two, memorization requires placing the right value on the word. The right value on the word. The Bible is valuable and worth our time. And again, I think of all things, we probably just fill our time with all the things that are less important than the Bible. Isn't that our temptation always? How many know that I've finished siding my garage? You got that down today? Yeah, the soffit's not done, but the siding is. Shane, my son-in-law, did most of my house with the help of Nathan and Nathaniel. And my garage, there's two parts that weren't done, and then I got parts of my house yet. You show me how and I'll do it. 4 years, okay? It takes time to do that. And you know what? It didn't get done because I put other things in front of it. On purpose. And you have to do that. You have to let some things go. Even I mentioned football. I watched the half hour of my half hour of football a year yesterday, and it happened to be the Penn State and Iowa game, the last half hour. I don't watch football because the word and other things are higher priorities. That doesn't make you bad if you watch football, but if you're not giving the word the proper priority, then it might mean that football is bad, for example. And it could be anything. I enjoy, one of my favorite pastimes, and it probably makes you just bored with me saying it, is I really enjoy the hobby of genealogy. My daughter Deborah brought down yesterday, said, look at what Hannah sent us. And there's three things. And one was a picture of Jane's great-grandparents, the Klingensmiths. Think they're German? Another one was another picture, and I don't even remember what it was. But the third, I'd never seen this, but my mom had an older brother, 10 and a half months older, and his name was Jimmy or James. He was killed in a car accident when he was 13 and a half. But he had this little signature book that he got on his 12th birthday, September 12th, 1947. He died in January of 1949. But here's all these little scribbles, including my mom, who wrote in his little signature book on his 12th birthday, and she would have been 11. It looked like she was writing as an 11-year-old. Okay? That fascinates me, personal history and genealogy. Finding out, you know, I don't care if I have royalty in my background, and I don't think I do. Okay? I'm related in a shoestring to President Garfield, but not as a direct descendant. Did you know he was killed in office? Did you know he was assassinated? Did you know he was a general in the Indian Army? All this, I had a great-great, you can see how I can get into this, right? A great-great-uncle that was killed in the Union Army down just west of Atlanta in Dalton, Georgia. I visited his grave 2 years ago. Finding somebody's grave from the Civil War, amazing. I enjoy genealogy, but I do not spend almost any time on genealogy. Why? Because there's other things more important. You have to treasure the word with your time and other things as well. I mean, if all you're doing is reading the word of God and the kids have dirty diapers, probably adjust a little bit. Okay, and I'm saying that from a father's standpoint. There might be other things that you need to address. Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's describing the benefit of the Word of God that is to be valued. And notice verse 10, more to be desired are they than what? Gold. So even pursuit of money should not be our primary pursuit. Do we need to pay our bills? Yes. Well, maybe they'll bail us out. Yes, we do. That's our obligation before the Lord, to work and pay our bills. But that should not be our pursuit. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. You mean the word is even more valuable than food? I'll move on before there's a riot. I know I'm in a Baptist church here. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We have to understand that the Word of God has great value, and we have to place the right value on the Word of God. Folks, it is worth your time to spend in the Word of God. Thank you for being in class today. It's worth your time. Thank you for studying under, whether it's Sean or myself preaching. It's worth your time in reading the Word of God every day or reviewing it. It's worth your time. Psalm 119, 162. David says this, and by the way, if you want one psalm that talks all about the Word of God, read Psalm 119. I think there's 178 verses there. But he says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. You get that? I rejoice in your word as one who finds great treasure. Folks, do you see the Word of God as that valuable to you, or is your Bible there? My kids, I'm always looking for my Bible because I don't anymore. I use my PDA Bible or my computer Bible. I have literally gigabytes of studies that I've done on my computer. I've read through this several times, this edition of the Bible, and you can see my markings and stuff, but now I'm doing so I'm always looking for my Bible. But if you're one that's always looking for your Bible and you're not using something else, you have changes that need to be made that are mandated by the Word of God. It needs to become your treasure, and not something you dust off and leave on the mantle, but something you read. You have a privilege that most people throughout history have not had, and that's to be able to have a printed Word of God, right? And I don't say that to express guilt. I mean, I'm saying it like if I had a French silk pie here. Honey doesn't appeal to me as much. I like honey, but French silk pie hits me where, you know, that's home. But we need to pursue that, like French silk pie or chicken wings, if you know me. Bonanza chicken wings, there's nothing better. And it has to be better than those. It has to be better than gold, pursuit of gold. The word, and it's that valuable. It's not something we're saying is valuable but isn't. It is more valuable than any other pursuit. And it's worth your time and it'll make the difference in your life. It certainly has in mine. I see every day I get to read the Word of God. What a privilege. And there's just so much there. Number three, memorization is essential to holiness. Now, we don't maybe think in those terms. We probably should more. But folks, God says, be holy for I am holy. You cannot be holy apart from memorization. Psalm 119:11. This one is probably one that most of us are familiar with. Your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Now, there's some practical things. Some people think of it as some kind of magic potion or something that I'll just start quoting a verse that's irrelevant or something. But the way Jesus used the Word of God when he was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4, what did he do? When the devil said, bow down and worship me and I'll give you everything that you see, he says, thus says the Lord. God says, I alone am to be worshipped. Or man shall not, you know, command these stones to be made bread. And by the way, we just learned that God created the universe by speaking it into existence. We haven't talked about it much from the pulpit yet, but Jesus was the one that actually did the creating. He, that person of the Godhead, they all were involved. is it any big deal to create bread out of stones for Jesus? Why not just create bread out of nothing? It probably tastes better. You know, bread out of stones would be leftover, right? That's what I'm thinking. You know, it's not an issue. But the devil was tempting him to yield to his desires rather than to the will of God. And Jesus quotes out of Deuteronomy 8 and says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The word of God needs to be preeminent even over our hunger, which Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. Me, I haven't eaten for 14 hours. I could stand to eat right now, you know. Okay? But he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone. I will follow God and even instead of my appetites." So he's quoting the word of God as it pertains. You cannot obey God if you don't know what he said. The word of God is not a magic potion, but it does tell you about God and what's right and wrong. And if you don't know what's right and wrong, you certainly cannot follow that. Proverbs 7, 1 through 5. "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you." Again, over and over, we're admonished to do this. "Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye." There's that value that would relate to the point number two. "The law is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, 'You are my sister,' and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from" what? "The immoral woman." By the way, this isn't the only place that it says this in Proverbs. "From the seductress who flatters with their words." There's at least three or four chapters in the first 10 chapters of Proverbs that relate to resisting temptation from even an evil woman, from a seductress. And it says you have to have the word of God in your heart. You have to have treasured it even to get to that point. So is there a lack of holiness today in God's assembly? And speaking broadly, the church in broad, yes. Is there a part of it? The reason is that people do not know the Word of God and they've not treasured the Word of God in their heart. I think absolutely that's part of the problem. They don't even know what the Bible says and they don't have it to draw from. The Bible says that the Word of God can prevent adultery. Number four, memorization is one step towards understanding the Word. Memorization is one step towards understanding the Word. We must memorize to fully learn the Word. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. "My son, if you receive my words..." By the way, I memorized this when I was in the army. Several verses of this, and then it goes on to warn you again of being able to keep the woman later on in the chapter. "But my son, if you receive my words and" what? "Treasure my commands within you." It's not having it there and then gone. And I'll give you some illustrations of that when we get done with the list here. "But treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." You're working hard to pay attention and learn the Word. "Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding," and praying that God would help you understand, "if you seek her as silver," there's the value idea again, "and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God," which seems to imply that people that do not pursue God in an intense way will not understand the fear of the Lord nor find the knowledge of God. That's why I think the Bible says, "Do not be many teachers." We talked about that last week. It's not as easy as you think. It's a pursuit. It's an intensity there that helps you understand what the Word of God truly says. "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So you cannot understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God without, in part, treasuring God's commands within you. So it helps you understand the Word. Memorization is part of understanding. Number five, memorization is required before one can meditate on the Word. Memorization is required before one can meditate on the Word. We must memorize to meditate. Guess what we're talking about next week? Meditation. There's a method to our madness here. We went from familiarization to instruction to memorization to meditation to application. Psalm 119, 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? There's that holiness part again. All of these kind of intersect. By taking heed according to your word. You have to obey what God says. It's not magic, but the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit that's greater in us than he that is in the world. So we have the power to do it. We have the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit within us. With my whole heart have I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. There's that intense pursuit of God. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We've already addressed that. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of your mouth. They're sharing what you learn. We talked about that last week some. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. There's the value that we mentioned in number 2. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. You can meditate by looking at the copy of the Word of God that you have. But you cannot meditate day and night that way unless you're a terrible driver. You have to have it inside you. You have to memorize it. Your word have I hidden in my heart. I can meditate then wherever I go. And it's really neat. As you memorize, it even helps you to meditate. I took a class in a college in Indiana. I was there for Indiana Baptist College for a semester. And I had a class. It was a personal evangelism class. We memorized passages. And I was working at a stainless steel fabrication plant, second shift. And with mandatory overtime. So I had a lot of time to memorize while I was running this CNC mill that I did, worked on. And it was amazing how God blessed my soul as I memorized passages of the Word of God. That was just one place. In the military, I learned to memorize the Word of God as I read it every day. Tried to read a proverb every day at that time and 5 psalms a day. And then reading through other parts of the Word of God. And it just helps you to meditate and understand things. Number 6, memorization is required for obedience and blessing. Anyone here want blessing from God? Raise your hand if you're interested in blessing. Even just a little bit. Anyone? Yeah, some. We can obey and receive the blessings of the Word. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. I memorized Proverbs 3, 1 through 10 when I was in. I actually put it to a song, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days, long life, and peace they will add to you. When you memorize, you will make the wise choices and make the most of your time. Like maybe not watching TV or maybe not doing this activity or choosing this instead. Word of God, we're making choices that keep us from dying. Kind of like look both ways before crossing the street, only much more spiritual than that. Because the Bible says there's things that pursue that lead to death. God's word will keep us from going directions. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. There's phrasing again. And so what? Find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Bible says God will make even your enemies to be at peace with you as you honor Him. That sounds like something worth pursuing. Anyone here think that's worthwhile? Absolutely. Proverbs 4. We wrote this in a song years ago at our house. I started teaching it to the Flap Kids Wednesday. I'll try and sing it to you since I have it in front of me. It goes, my son, give attention. I should have Elizabeth help me, but I won't embarrass her. I'll start. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And there's that memorization again, right? Now, what does it give you? For their life to all who find them, and health to all their flesh. Anyone want to be healthy? Again, it's not a magic potion, but the Word of God helps you to avoid things that are wrong. It says if a man, how does it say it? May it be against you if you're one that is given to appetite, the Bible says. It tells you don't pursue your appetites as a driving force. If you're hungry, it's okay to eat, but don't let eating be the driving force, for instance, okay? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The Bible says whatever you put in affects what comes out. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, what you put into your heart, what do you put into your head. We'll talk about that briefly. And put perverse lips far from you. That would cover most of television, wouldn't it anymore? We are told to not let things like that in our minds. Let your eyes look straight ahead. What you focus on, what you read, that could even be the internet, right? And your eyelids look right before you. Again, the kids are learning flap on Wednesday, so you'll hear this more. Ponder the path of your feet. You have to pay attention where you go. You have to make wise choices about what places you go to. That'll keep a lot of people out of sin, won't it? Just don't go to the places. Ponder the path of your feet. And let all your ways be established. Think before you go. Let them be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. That's choosing not to deviate from where you know God wants you to do. Do not turn to the right or your left. And then if you find some place that you shouldn't be, remove your foot from what? Evil. Okay? Memorization is required for obedience and blessing. You cannot obey God if you do not know what God has said. And you cannot get the blessings that come from walking with God if you do not know what God has said and do not follow what God has said. But it starts with memorization. It doesn't necessarily mean you're memorizing huge chunks of the Word of God like, say, Michael Ginn. But it does mean that you have to know it well enough so you can put it to practice. Number 7. Memorization seeds, S-E-E-D-S, seeds the heart with goodness. Memorization seeds the heart with goodness. We fill our hearts with something, don't we? Fill it with the Word. My younger brother is a CPA. As far as I know, he always has been a CPA. This kid, for extra credit, in like third grade, wrote to a million in a notebook on paper. Just because. He learned how to tell time before, one, two, three, four. He did all the way up to a million. He got extra credit for it. Good for him. He learned how to tell time before I did. He was more sports-minded. He knew all the statistics, I think, of pretty much everything at the time that was going on. He could tell you what a guy's batting average was, what his RBIs were, all that. And I'm like, I kept having to ask, okay, what's an RBI? You know, stuff like that. I was the opposite in that, the interest area. But he'd watch the game, he'd read the stats in the paper, and he'd call Sportsline. Okay? He's just kind of like that. I don't know that he does anything with sports now. He's got a family and his kids are in sports, but he doesn't do that anymore. But I'm like, in my mind, people that have all that, it's like, why do you have that in your head? Now, you probably heard this of Albert Einstein. He wasn't a believer. But someone asked him what his phone number was. He went over and looked it up. I mean, why don't you have, why cloud your mind with needless details? That's fair. One of my favorite theologians, Sherlock Holmes, said something to the effect of a mind is like an attic. that eventually it's filled up. Now, that's a paraphrase of Sherlock Holmes. It's a fictional figure of Sir Arthur. I honestly believe that you can fill your mind up with stuff. In fact, I think it'll do it anyway. Anyone here older? And your kids remember stuff, details about things that you don't even remember even. Oh, Dad, on this trip it was, you know. It fills up in. Careful what you put it in. It's going to fill up. Don't fill it up with needless details. Luke 6, 43 through 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good what? Treasure of his heart brings forth good. You have to put good treasure in to get good out. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. You ever hear somebody get mad and it shows them what they have in their heart? For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Oh, I normally don't talk that way. And it's like, well, you must think that way because it's in you. The Bible says, you out of the abundance, what's there in abundance in your heart is the way you ultimately talk and act. And again, folks, that's not just needless information, but that's also bad information. Remember the passage we just sang? Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. We're teaching the kids a song in Sunday mornings after the Sunday school. Watch what you watch when you watch TV because your eyes belong to God. Watch what you hear on the radio. Your ears belong to God. You have to be careful what you put in. Why? Because that implants wrong seed in your heart. Memorization seeds your heart with goodness. Number 8, memorization allows the Word to be our treasure. Memorization allows the Word to be our treasure. And you're saying, like, Kevin, you just set up number 2, memorization requires placing the right value on the Word. Yes. But notice what the Bible states as well. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves what? Treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your what? Treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now notice it's saying we need to treasure the Word, but notice the Bible says if you focus on the Word and make it your treasure, your heart follows you. It's easy to start being in the Word of God, but then it becomes precious to you because you make it your focus. The Bible tells us, you make yourself want the Bible like a baby wants to eat. Now, I'm not putting words in a mom's mouth, but when my kids eat, they're ready to eat now. It's priority number 1. God says, you treasure it just like a newborn baby desires the pure milk of the Word. That is what we are commanded to do with the Word of God. And then guess what? It becomes our treasure. When I first started the discipline of reading my Bible every day and memory work and all of that, it was a task. Now it's pleasurable. It's enjoyable. It works that way. As you start treasuring the Bible, it becomes your treasure. It works both ways. So I'm not promising, oh, this is easy, but it's right and good and it'll end up being precious to you. So let me review these and we'll flip to the backside. Memorization is commanded. Memorization requires placing the right value on the Word. Memorization is essential to holiness. Memorization is one step towards understanding the Word. Memorization is required before one can meditate on the Word. By the way, I got mobility there. I didn't talk about that. What's mobility? When you memorize, it's with you wherever you go. There's people, and I'm not saying this will happen to you. You got it in comfort and convenient times as well. But there's been times when people get thrown in prison. I don't know if you've ever read the story of Darlene Diebler, who was in Indonesia as a missionary in World War II, but she was just married to her husband. Missionaries over there, they were separated. She never saw her husband again. He died in a concentration. She was in a concentration camp for 7 years, and all she had of the Word of God is what she had memorized in her heart for 7 years. It's there. There was a precious man. He used to pray for me every day. He's with the Lord now. He got saved in his 50s. His name is Ken Rose. Surgery in the hospital, and he was waking up and he's quoting scripture. This man memorized amazing amounts of scripture in his 50s. In his 50s. You can memorize at any age. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes treasuring. But a conversation with him was like a conversation with the Bible. And it was just a blessing. Mobility. You have it wherever you go. Memorization is required for obedience and blessing. Memorization seeds the heart with goodness and to be our treasure. Flip the page over. Here, let me give you some illustrations. This actually starts out as a teacher's lesson that I send to all the teachers, and then they actually develop lessons from there that are just amazing. They focus them on kids, you know, the right ages. But treasure the word. Placing it in one's heart is as a valuable for safekeeping. Think of it as if we're treasuring it, we're putting it in our hearts for safekeeping. What's one of your favorite possessions? Just someone, what do you have that's a favorite possession? Your wedding ring. Do you know where your wedding ring is at? Yeah, it's around her neck. That's why it's a wedding ring. It's a real big thing. No, I'm teasing, Judy. But I'm saying, you know what? Do you have a diaper around your neck? Why? Because you know what? You put what's most precious. And that's the point. We're to treasure that way. If you put it as close as you can, the Bible says you can put it in. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Several times the Bible uses the term tablet of your heart. Memorizing is like writing down the word down in your heart's notebook. Anyone here write stuff? You know, anywhere. In fact, I was giving my wife ideas for how to do her class, but they're not kind of right at writing age yet very much. But it's like, I have to write stuff down. Lynn knows this to a fault with me at work. I swear, you know, if it's more than 2 days old, I tell people, I don't even remember. Just start from the beginning, you know, because there's just so much and you can't remember it, and I think my attic's full, okay? But why do you write it down? So you can refer back to it, right? So you can pull it back up. If you don't write it down, you know, it's like, okay, tell me your phone number, and I don't know what it is about walking like 10 paces, but there's some erasing phenomenon. I'll tell people, okay, you want this at work? Okay, that's good. I'll be glad to do it, but you email me. And if I walk 10 paces and you know someone else talks to me or whatever, I don't even remember that I forgot. But if it's written down, I'll remember because I can pull that back up. Isn't that what it is? When you put it on the tablet of your heart, you can pull it back up. If it's in here, great, but it doesn't do you what? Any good if it's not in here. Honestly. That's like having a medical dictionary on your shelf. What does a medical dictionary on your shelf do? It takes up shelf space. Unless you read it and use it. Right? Same way with the Word of God. What's it do? It takes up shelf space unless you have it to be used. Now, this is dear to my heart. Computer hard drives. Anyone here have a computer? I hate computers. That's how I earn my living. I don't hate computers. I just sometimes don't like them very much. Maybe because I'm around them all day, but I actually enjoy computers, but I don't like every part of computers. But I'll tell you, years ago, before they had hard drives, I was writing this super long missions paper. It was a 25-page missions paper. And at that time, you had floppy drives only. You didn't have a hard drive. Hard drive is a fast storage place, okay? But I had this floppy drive, and I'm writing this paper, you know, you're under pressure to write it and stuff, It was a good paper. But I hadn't saved it. I was living in a mobile home park in Elkhart, Iowa up here. We'd bought a used mobile home to kind of cut costs and all. But all I hadn't saved it. Because you know what? Saving it back then on a floppy took a while. You know, just a couple minutes. And I was probably on page 23. And the only time in 2 years that a kid ever shut the power off to the entire trailer park was then. I never found him. Yeah, or you could have probably been visiting me in prison. No, I wasn't mad as much as I was just, oh. But there's two parts to the computer. One is RAM. You ever heard of RAM? It's called random access memory. You don't have to remember, but it's volatile memory. It's temporary memory. It's what's in your computer. But when you turn the power off, what? It's gone. Whatever's there is gone. That's what happened. My paper was in RAM. You turned it off, it was gone. If I had saved it permanently on the floppy drive or on a hard drive, which, again, was pre those days, I could have, no problem, I could have turned it on and pulled it right back up. That's exactly what memorization does. Folks, you read and you forget. You hear and you forget. But if you review and memorize, you can pull it up over and over again. That's the value of memorization. Saving passages to I call it your heart drive. How do you like that, a play on words? Allows them to be pulled up over and over again. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God in your life. But He can only use what you've learned, not what you haven't learned. Fair? What is read or taught must be memorized to be usable later. The Word is the Spirit's weapon, Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Have you equipped yourself with the Spirit's sword? Hebrews 4:12 also says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And notice what it is. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. The Bible, I believe, is teaching here that you don't even know your own motives. You can't honestly, if you're not saturated with the Word of God, you cannot possibly make wise choices. So those are memorization illustrations. Now, quickly, we have two more sections, right? Memorization techniques, how to memorize. Joshua 1:8 is our memory verse. That's the one that everyone's learning. The teens have a lot more. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Here's some techniques of how to memorize. There's lots of different ways. Number one, speaking repeatedly. Speaking repeatedly. Say, reading out loud, or hearing a verse over and over again. I worked up at camp for several years, 4 years, and we had to always memorize a passage of Scripture. Remember one year it was Psalm 101. It was 6, 7, 8 verses, something like that. And we recorded it on a tape player and just kept playing it back. And we had a week to do it. We had to say it perfectly before the end of the week. That's one way we did it. Or we'd write it over and over. Or we'd say it over and over. But there's ways to do it. Number two, writing repeatedly, over and over. Again, there's just different ways to do it. Folks, most of the people throughout history have not had paper and pencil. We have such benefits and blessings. And to whom much is given, what? Much is required, right? So I think God requires more of us in our era than any other time. We have the Word of God in its entirety. We have freedom. We have wealth. We have health, all of those things. So God requires more of us. Number three, breaking up in sections. Logical segments. And the question is, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's how Michael Guinness memorized almost the entire New Testament. Had it for 20 years. He memorized his first book, the Book of Revelation, in a and that's he was a heroin addict, people. So don't say God can't do something with your brain. He didn't start till what? I don't know how old he is. He probably started in his mid-30s or 40s. He's probably close to, he's got to be getting close to 60. He's been doing this like 20, 25 years. He didn't start at 16 or 10, okay? Number four, breaking up in sections. It's just like learn one phrase first and then add a phrase or whatever. Logical segments that, you know, make sense. I don't like trying to memorize from a paragraph. I like to break them down into phrases or whatever. Number four, using hand motions and other mnemonics. We try my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart. A song. Thanks, Susan. Putting scripture to music, make up a song, or find one that has been written. That's another way. We've done that a few times. I wrote Joshua 1:8 into a song last night. My kids were saying it for their Sunday school class. But it's easy to do. And like I said, if you can't write a song, find one that some, a lot of scriptures there. You'll hear that later. I think I'll teach it to the kids today. But I won't sing it to you because we're running late and I'm out of time here. Number five, putting scripture to music. Just reviewing. Just going over it again. Over and over, it helps you to retain it even more. Some of the things I memorized as a child that I've reviewed, I have to this day. Memorization passages. Let me give you these quickly. What to memorize. Choose a passage related to what you're studying. Genesis 1, Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, 1-3, 1 Peter 2, 1-3. They're all passages relating to what we're studying either in Sunday school or in church. And by the way, we're not going very fast, can you tell? How many got Genesis 1:1 down? Okay, we'll pick up the pace, but I mean, you got a chance here. Number two, choose a passage that deals with an area or challenge. Temptation or challenge. If the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, then it's your weapon. 1 Corinthians 10:13, one of those that I remember, there's no temptation taking you, which is such as suffering to be that you're able, but with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I think I learned that in fourth grade from my pastor. It's a temptation thing that God taught us, so God will never give you anything more than you can handle, bottom line. Number three, choose a passage that encourages your walk with the Lord. I list your Colossians 2, 6, and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up and established in the faith. Choose a passage that is foundational to Christian doctrine, or you can write the word belief, what we need to believe, what is true, or conduct, and you can write the word behavior. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you're saved through what? Faith. And that none of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's a doctrinal statement about the salvation. Bing, 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 bing. Is it worth memorizing? Yeah. Don't try and memorize. It's like, oh, you know, I'm trying to memorize the Book of Ruth today. Well, if you can, knock yourself out. But try one verse. And then when you get done with one verse, try a second verse. So make that part of your daily diet. You know, spend 5 minutes in a passage. Not 5 hours, unless you got 5 hours. Spend 5 minutes. Just keep working on it. Work it with your, if you got children, they're memorizing verses. Memorize the same ones. So, all right. Thank you for your patience. We've really squeezed a lot in, but hopefully it's something you can go home and review, look over. It's all there for you now. Let's pray, all right? Ted, you want to close us in prayer?
Treasure it.
Amen. Thank you very much. Ladies, you can stay here. Men, you're over in the teen room. And the kiddos are in front of the auditorium. Yes.
Lily's been singing the songs that we were doing on Sunday, the Holy, Holy, Holy.
Oh, yeah.
And she can say the first half of Joshua.
See,
not
there she
the,
goes.
The key word, not the word in or an or
yeah.
Or whatever. But.
Repetition works. Thanks, Judy.
Because she's been listening to everybody else sing it.
Absolutely. Yep, you don't even have to sing it. You can just hear it. Thanks, Susan. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Pickpocket, it worked fine. You didn't even notice.